Well, good morning and welcome to another edition of the Morning Devotional. My name is Pastor William Hill. I'm the pastor of Providence Church located in Evansville, Indiana. We are a congregation of the Presbyterian Church in America. It's great to have you here with me for a Monday, December 14th, 2020. This is edition number 47. As we are currently working our way through the Sermon on the Mount, we are in season two of the Morning Devotional. Today we're going to be discussing the verse found in Matthew chapter 6, verse 13, as we consider the sixth petition of the Lord's Prayer. But let's pray together first, and then ask for God's help, and then we'll look at this this verse together this morning. Let's pray. Father, as we now turn to your word at the beginning of another day, we would pray that you would help us, that you would be merciful to us, that even as we express our dependence upon you, as we ask for your Spirit's help to understand your word, that you might indeed give to us what we ask, and that you might grant to us what you command, that we would walk faithfully with you, abiding by all the things that you tell us in your word. We do pray for your people, for the struggling, the weak. We pray that you might help and encourage them, and that you might encourage us now through these words given to us by your Spirit. We pray for Christ's sake. Amen. Well, as I mentioned, we are looking at the Lord's Prayer, and we have considered a number of items related to this prayer found in Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 9, as well as in Luke chapter 11. And the first thing that we noted is that this is a model prayer. It's designed, it was given to us by the Savior to teach us how to pray and to teach us much about prayer. It doesn't say everything there is to say about prayer, but it says many things that are useful for us. And so we've considered the preface to the Lord's Prayer, and we've gone through the first five petitions that are offered in this prayer. And this morning we're going to consider the final, the sixth petition, and then tomorrow we'll wrap up this section of the Lord's Prayer. Let me read the Lord's Prayer again, beginning in Matthew chapter 6, and verse 9. Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. We're going to use again, as we have throughout this section of our study on the Sermon on the Mount and the Lord's Prayer specifically, we're going to be using the Shorter Catechism and the Larger Catechism as we consider what we pray for when it comes to the sixth petition. The sixth petition is found there in Matthew chapter 6, verse 13. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. The Shorter Catechism asks, what do we pray for in the sixth petition? And the answer to that question is in the sixth petition, which is, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. We pray that God would either keep us from being tempted to sin, or support and deliver us when we are tempted. And then turning to the larger catechism, question 195, again to ask the same question, and the sixth petition is the same as the one we have just read. We acknowledging that the most wise, righteous, and gracious God, for divers holy and just ends, may so order things that we may be assaulted, foiled, and for a time led captive by temptations, that Satan, the world, and the flesh are ready powerfully to draw us aside and ensnare us, and that we, even after the pardon of our sins, by reason of our corruption, weakness, and want of watchfulness, are not only subject to be tempted and forward to expose ourselves unto temptations, but also of ourselves unable and unwilling to resist them, to recover out of them, and to improve them. And worthy to be left under the power of them, we pray that God would so overrule the world and all in it, subdue the flesh and restrain Satan, order all things, bestow and bless all means of grace, and quicken us to watchfulness in the use of them, that we and all his people may by his providence be kept from being tempted to sin. or if tempted, that by his Spirit we may be powerfully supported and enabled to stand in the hour of temptation, or when fallen, raised again, and recovered out of it, and have a sanctified use and improvement thereof, that our sanctification and salvation may be perfected, Satan trodden underfoot, and we fully freed from sin, temptation, and all evil forever. Now, there is much there, of course, in the larger catechism. We don't really have the time to unpack every single nuance of that answer. But zeroing in more on the shorter catechism this morning, the first thing we note is that temptation is indeed a reality for fallen man. Due to our sin, due to our sin nature, we are sometimes drawn away to those things that cause us to sin against God. Now, it could be the world, the enticements of the world, the things that the world promotes as good and right, but they're not. They're unrighteous and they're ungodly because they stand in enmity against God and His law. It could be the flesh. It could be our own sinful nature and frame, either through actual transgression and acts, or sins of the thought or the mind. And it can also come directly from the evil one himself. And these are the three great enemies that the Christian in his pilgrimage in this world face day after day. But as Christians, we are, as Paul told us in Romans chapter 8, we are to be putting to death the deeds of the flesh. We are to mortify underfoot these issues. But the fact remains that temptation is a reality of our lives. We face it, and we face it even daily. James, when he penned his letter in James chapter 1, he makes reference to the fact that these things are part and parcel of our lives. In James 1, verse 2, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. Now there, the word is translated trials, but temptations could easily be part and parcel of this exhortation. But note that he says when, not if. We will be subjected to these matters, these threefold enemies in our lives, because we do indeed live in a fallen world. And so, as Christians, we do not desire, nor do we want to sin against God. We love Him as a Father. We want to be obedient to Him, but we know that we fall short. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But we still, regardless, as we wage that war in our members, we want to resist the world, the flesh, and the devil. So we pray, we ask God, our Father in heaven, to lead us not into temptation. Now, it's important to note here that God does not tempt any man. God is not the agent of temptation. He may, by His providence, allow us to fall into temptation, but He Himself is not doing the tempting. And perhaps the classic example of this is the temptation of our Savior. In Matthew chapter 4, after the Lord Jesus was baptized, we read in verse 1, then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And so we are asking the sovereign God who orders our days and is working by providence to keep us from those times of temptation. But then we also recognize that He may not be pleased to do that. He may use those times to further strengthen us and teach us to rely more carefully on His grace as we live our lives. We note also that this prayer not only asks God to keep us from being tempted, but it also goes on to say that if we are indeed tempted, that He would support and deliver us in our temptation. And one of the verses that we can appeal to when it comes to this very matter is 1 Corinthians 10:13. There hath no temptation taking you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will, with the temptation, also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. And so, we are praying first to not be tempted, but when tempted, that God will support and deliver us, recognizing that God in His care and love for His people will not allow us to be tempted beyond that which we can withstand, and that He will indeed deliver us from these things. The thing that is most striking about times of temptation is that God has promised to deliver a way out. He has promised to give to us a solution to it. And oftentimes we fail to exercise that solution and fall deeper into the sin itself. Reminded of the story of Joseph when he was in Potiphar's house and how Potiphar's wife continually sought to cause Joseph to sin with her, and Joseph refused and made the grand statement, how can I do this evil and sin against God? And he fled from the house to remove himself from that temptation. And that's what we must do. You know, as we pray this prayer, we must also recognize that we need to take an active role and be responsible as Christians when tempted to sin, that we would refuse to say, to give into it, that we would say no to sin, that we would look for the escape and move away from that temptation, not continually wallowing in it, because that will lead to ruin. The Apostle Paul has told God's people in Romans 6 that sin no longer has dominion over us, that we, as redeemed people, can resist the world, the flesh, and the devil, and we must do that, but we must heed God's freedom, God's relief from it, even as we ask him to help us not be tempted. Well, I trust these times are a blessing for you. I hope they are. If you have any comments or questions for me, you can contact me. That information is there before you. Until tomorrow, may God bless you this day, and may you serve him faithfully in all that you do. God bless.